business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. And good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. I am Fred Kitchen, and in the studio sitting here right beside of me is Gene Dean. Good morning, Gene.
Almost too close there for a minute, Fred. Sorry about that.
We have a good time in the studio, and I tell you what, you know, we tackle a lot of different issues on the show, and I tell you, I think we've got a guest that's going to be with us today that is going to really bring a lot of insight to a lot of confusion and a lot of questions. And help us out there. I want to make sure our listeners know, and I'm sure many do, that we have the website pftradio.com for Planning for Tomorrow. And that website is being used quite a bit. And we will put resources on the website, and we'll also put our podcast up there also to make those available for download if you'd like to check those out. But before we go any further, we have a guest with us today. We have Jody Clock. Jody, are you with us?
I am with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Jody. How are you?
Good morning, Jody. I'm Gene Dean, and I'm sitting in here with Fred, and we're going to enjoy a good conversation with you because on this program we've talked about so many different aspects, estate planning, wills, and elder care, but I don't think we've ever really discussed this subject of how you take care of an older parent or family member, and also, as Jody's book says, without going broke.
Well, you know, I want to give our listeners just a quick overview of who Jody is. Jody has worked with end-of-life planning in the end-of-life planning industry for many years. I'm going to say 25, right, Jody?
You're going to give my age away.
I'm going to give your age. She's 26, so she started when she was one. But she's also been involved with a lot of corporately owned funeral homes, advanced planning companies, casket manufacturers, and insurance agencies. It sounds like my resume being read here also, Jody. I think we come from the same cloth to a certain extent, don't we?
Yep, you're a fellow alum.
Yes.
And I'm just learning.
Yes. Jody, I want to go ahead and get started here and talk a little bit about what you do and the book that you have just written that you've come out with called Navigating the Elder Care Journey Without Going Broke. And I think that's an important thing. Me being a funeral home owner myself, I hear every day it seems like people are having these questions and they're overwhelmed by a lot of the journey that they have to go on when they have an aging parent. And I think you're going to be able to give a lot of insight to our listeners today. So tell us just a little bit about what motivated you to write this book, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm going to back up just a minute because this is relevant to the motivation. My husband happens to own 3 funeral homes. Mm-hmm. And so when I came into my second life, if you will, and I married my husband, he kind of said to me, put your money where your mouth is. You've been teaching funeral professionals across America how to communicate with families in the communities. You know, I want you to take over our prearranging and our transitional care area. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, collectively he's got maybe 500 families that he deals with on an annual basis. So that's a pretty broad base to work with.
Right.
And what I found myself, I mean, literally, it was that I probably went through 24 months of the same story, same situation, different person. Wow. I mean, I could close my eyes and I could, you know, not to minimize what they're going through, but it was just, you know, like hitting an on button.
Everybody has the same questions, the same fears, the same anxieties.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one person. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly it. And what the common denominator was between all of them, and most of these people, quite frankly, were not the people in a crisis moment. They were the adult children coming in to make sure everything is okay for their parents, mm-hmm. because they had noticed mama slipping or dad has died and now they're taking care of mom. Right. So that was the common denominator. And what I found is that, and I'm going to say this a couple of times, many good people get well-intended misinformation.
Mm.
So let me say that again. Good people get well-intended misinformation.
Right.
And
who would do that to them, Jody? I mean, that sounds...
people who are not knowledgeable.
And they
may have went... Would you think maybe they have went through an experience, but, you know, maybe they're just kind of telling it a little differently?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're spot on, and let me give you an example. Let's just say something happens, and I am taking care of my mother. So, you know, I'm my mother's advocate, and I happen to go over and have coffee with my next-door neighbor. So I'm sharing my debacle with my next-door neighbor, and she's going to say, hey, you know, that happened to my girlfriend, and my girlfriend did this, and her attorney told her to do that. So people are giving well-intended information, whether that's mm-hmm. to gift money, whether that's to go plan a funeral, whether that's to spend their money on all kinds of things. And what it is what, you know, just like no two people are alike, mm-hmm. no two financial families situations are alike.
Right.
Some mm-hmm. people live on Social Security. Some people are fortunate enough to have lots of assets. Some people, you know, are living paycheck to paycheck. Some families are living together. And so, you know, what works for one person may not be the solution for the next one.
Okay. There's no one-size-fits-all, then.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there yeah. is. And, well, there is no one-size-fits-all.
Right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cookie-cutter answers just aren't working for, mm-hmm. for society.
And people may be well-intentioned, but they're not really giving the facts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then here's the other big bugaboo that if anybody can walk away with, this is the one thing I want them to understand, that people will encourage you to go to an estate planning attorney, and that makes good logical sense. But there is a big difference between an estate planning attorney and an elder care planning attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They are two very different attorneys for two very different things. And that right there can cost literally thousands of dollars. And I like to compare that to, I don't know about you, but I have a general internist for my doctor. So when something's wrong, I go to my internist and, you know, they say, okay, you just have a cold, or they'll give me a script for something. But if there's something serious, they're not afraid to refer me out. So if someone has cancer or if someone has a heart issue, you want to go to that specialist. And estate planning attorneys, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong, they're very good, but they're more broad.
Right.
So what you want to do is get into the elder care niche, and that's a new up-and-coming field. So you have to be very specific and know what kind of questions.
Yeah.
Because
you're bringing up some good points. I mean, we in the past, Gene, we have had some attorneys on our show, and we have had our elder care attorney that joins us from time to time.
Right.
And then we've also had the estate planning attorney in the past.
Yeah,
so I mean, you're right. There is a broad difference there. It's kind of, you can't use that same brush to paint the whole picture for families that are having some elder care things that they're having to face with, you know, such as putting mom or dad into a nursing home and how to protect assets and things like that, as well as the other attorney who, the estate plan attorney, who might be looking at, you know, how we can put that will together, how we can, you know, those type of things, right? Jody, is that kind of what you're saying?
I would agree with you, but to bring it into its simplest forms, mm-hmm. estate planning attorneys help you build wealth.
Right.
That's their focus. And, you know, they help you protect that wealth in terms of the different situations. You know, when you're maybe just a newly married couple, you have a will and it does one thing. And then that estate planning attorney will partner with you through life as your life changes to transition it for different things. Let's say if you have children or if you buy a home or do you need to go from term insurance to whole life insurance. You know, they will make really good recommendations on managing wealth
uh-huh.
and protecting that. But the elder care will plan for Medicaid.
Okay.
So there's wealth planning, and then there's Medicaid planning.
Medicaid planning.
And it doesn't mean that you have to, at the end of your life, go on Medicaid. It just means that you, if you are placed in a position to where you may be faced with having to go into assisted living and or a nursing home or bring someone into your home to care for you, that if you don't want to lose all of your assets and write that check to your favorite government, I guess you could say, or your favorite nursing home, that you can leave a legacy to your children and be in a position to qualify for financial assistance.
Jody, I definitely we need to go to a quick break, but I, when we come back, I want to delve right back into that, talking about the Medicaid planning, because I think you're leading right up to a subject that is very interesting to a lot of people, and they need to have this knowledge, and I think you're going to be able to give quite a bit. So we'll be right back. You're listening to 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC. We are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen here along with Jean Dean. And when we went to break, we were talking to Jody Clock, and she was telling us a little bit about the Medicare or the Medicaid. And that's another confusing part right there, Jody, is a lot of people don't understand the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Are you with us?
Well, I am with you. And, you know, I spend a lot of time in the front part of my book and even in conversations with people because I think mentally – they get there's a difference, but because they're both med in their first three letters, they often interchange the two, and that can be very confusing when trying to have a dialogue with them.
Right.
And, you know, the easiest thing to remember is the Medicare is everything healthcare related, and Medicaid, when you're not, well, when you're a senior at the end of life, you want to look at it as everything healthcare assistance and or living related.
Right.
And I think, Jody, too, that people, they sort of know what Medicare is as they get older because they're benefiting from it. But then you say Medicaid, and they think, oh, well, that's just for people on welfare and that kind of thing. And they don't really understand that it can apply to them also.
Well, I think that's a great point. And one thing I'd like to flush out as a myth is that many facilities take both private pay and Medicaid, and a lot of people do not know. Let's just say if you're in a nursing home, the person in the same room could be sharing a bed, you know, the room and the bed next to you, and they could be on Medicaid, and people think that they get a lesser quality of care, and that is a myth.
I see what you're saying.
And so people should not look down on the fact or even feel bad, because it's just like Social Security. They paid into it their whole life. So if they choose to go that route, that they're reaping some of the benefits they have paid into.
Right. Tell us a little bit more. You were talking about some myths. What are some of the other myths about Medicaid that people automatically think when they think of Medicaid that may be not true?
Well, I'm going to go right back to the first thing that you said. And the most favorite myth that I hear is my parents have Medicare, so they're not going to need Medicaid.
Right.
And, you know, like we had just spent a minute saying, that Medicare is not Medicaid, and they are two very different things. You know, Medicare will cover the hospital expenses for those who qualify, but only for certain days, you know, the first 20 days, possibly up to 100, if there's been extended care before private payer long-term care assistance or Medicaid must kick in.
Yeah.
So that is the first myth. And then the second one is, oh, this person has long-term care insurance. I won't need Medicaid. Well, let's just say if the consumer was wise enough to purchase long-term care insurance, number one, I want to applaud them. That was a good thing. Mm-hmm. But over the years, long-term care insurance has changed time and time again. So you really need to read the fine print of just what type of long-term care insurance did you purchase, because maybe the coverage that you had bought will only cover, a big thing was cancer insurance for a long time.
Right.
So maybe they will only cover certain types of illnesses, or maybe they will only augment certain types of services. So that is a huge, huge fallacy.
Mm.
And then this is my favorite one. I can take care of my loved one. Well, that's great, but that's really unrealistic because families don't live in close proximity today.
That's a different day, isn't it?
It is a different day. And even if you know, it's a husband and wife. That's all great. And God love them. They love each other. They've been there for each other their whole life. But usually it's the caregiver who usually 9 times out of 10 ends up getting an ailment or becoming ill and oftentimes will pass away before the person in need of care.
Kind of wears them down themselves.
Yeah, the caregiver is on duty 24 hours a day.
It's a big job. Yeah. It's a big job.
It is. And then there's two more, actually, that I'd like to lay out there. And one is that a person must go broke before they can get on Medicaid to stay in a nursing home.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, I tell you what, I'd be a wealthy lady if I just even had a dime for every time I heard that. Well, I've never heard of the government walking in and saying, hand me your house.
Right.
They don't do that. Or, you want to go into the nursing home, here, hand me your checkbook. No. What happens is there are several things that as people that we need to do to proactively protect ourselves so we don't leave our assets unnecessarily exposed. Mm-hmm. It's only when we leave our wealth, and when I say wealth, it can be, you know, the average wealth is about $25,000 to $50,000, and the average wealth between liquidity and assets is $250,000. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're not talking, you know, the millionaires out there when I say wealth, and so that's a ambiguous word.
Right.
But there are things that can be done that most of them are free or they're very inexpensive that you can do to position yourself so when it's time to go into that nursing home or even if it's in a crisis moment and you're in the nursing home that you can defer those costs or private pay for a short period of time and then turn around and qualify for the Medicaid system.
Well, let me ask you something there. You bring up a good point and what you're talking about. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about meeting with social workers and the term, the five-year look-back period of protecting assets and things like that. Can you talk a little bit and share a little bit more with the listeners just about that right there?
I will, and I want to put the disclaimer out there that I'm not an attorney.
Right.
But from all of my understandings, you know, the five-year look-back was recently put in. It changed over the last few years. It used to be 3 years
right.
of a look-back. And that's really nothing to get excited about because it is what it is. It's a five-year look-back. It's the rule. And I just sat down with a family who came in, and they were just very obsessed with over the last 4 years, they had probably given in excess of, in gifts, $100,000+, mm-hmm. and they had sold their mother's home. Well, right, wrong, or indifferent, the choices that they made, they had gotten information from friends and family, so that's number one, the first mistake. And number two, they were stressing out and just really getting hung up on thinking they have to give that money back when they didn't have it. So they were looking at assets to sell, things to put on eBay so they could come up with the money to, you know, to give back.
Right.
And there's a formula out there. So whatever that is that you have gifted, yes, you have to flush it up. Yes, you have to be truthful and honest. It's fully disclosed. But there is a formula that goes out there. They understand that money is not going to come back. They're not going to get it. All it does is defer the months or the length of time until you can get on care.
Okay.
So it's a move forward and not a go backward.
Okay. So if someone's looking, and I know, again, we disclaim that you're not an attorney, but if someone is looking at protecting their home, let's say, and they're going to – mom, okay, let's say this. Mom is going to have to go into nursing home care at some point in the future, and because the family's been, they've been trying to be that caregiver that we talked about. That's very difficult, and they realize it's overwhelming, and now they're going to have to use nursing home care. But they want to make sure that they protect the assets that mom and dad had built their whole life. How do they go about doing that?
Well, the first question that you have to do is: are mom and dad both alive, or is they're just a mother or a father left.
Okay.
And so depending on that situation, you really need to start all the way back and not think about Medicaid, but you have to think about the ownership and who owns things and how are your assets titled.
Okay.
Because you know, Medicaid, while it's a federal law, there are things some states do differently. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is make sure that your assets are titled appropriately and then also placed in a living trust.
Okay.
And, you know, there are things that a elder care attorney can do that, depending on if you're a couple or if you are single, how they position that so that house does not have to be sold.
Okay.
Or how sometimes people have rental property. So, you know, depending on what they have, it can be protected. So it all starts with that living trust.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that you have that are titled or accumulated and how that title is labeled.
Let me ask you
something. How that trust is funded.
Let me ask you something. Based on your knowledge, let's say that, and this is a real-life situation, let's say that Dad has passed away, say, 5 or 6 years ago. The home was titled in both of their names, and this may be an attorney question, but I'll ask it to you. The home was titled in both their names. The mother went through probate, but yet the home stayed in her and her deceased husband's name still yet today. And now she's at a point where she thinks she may want to look at passing that home on to her children. She's in good health. What advice you have there?
Well, what you said was key. Is the whole thing is you can never avoid probate,
right?
But what you want to do is minimize estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that house is titled in an individual's name, then that's taxable and it's considered an asset.
Right.
So what you're going to want to do is make sure that house is titled in the name of the trust.
Okay.
And so then it slides through probate.
Okay.
And let me tell you, anything that is not titled properly or listed within that living trust will be probated.
Okay.
Something as simple,
You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll give you an example. Everybody has a banking account.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the banking account, checking or savings, and they ask you who the beneficiary is,
yeah,
if you write down your spouse or your child.
Hey, Jody. Let's hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean here in the studio. And on the phone with us, we have Jody Clock, and we've been talking a lot about Jody's book. Jody has a book called Navigating the Elder Care Journey Without Going Broke. And I tell you what, those last three words I think are key for a lot of people that don't want to go broke in the process of trying to protect assets, but yet help mom and dad or help themselves.
You know, that is so true because years ago before my mother died and we were going to have to put her in some kind of an assisted living place, the figure of $2,000, she didn't own a home or anything, but that figure keeps reverberating in my mind that somehow we had to pay her assets down to that figure before she would qualify for Medicaid.
Jody, are you with us?
I am. That's a big fear, and that's the first thing that comes out of people's mouth. They're like, oh my goodness, I'm only allowed $2,000. And they're sitting there looking at a house, a car, a checkbook, Social Security, possibly an IRA and a 401k. So I affectionately like to encourage everyone when they say that to not panic, take a breath, step back, and really what you have to do is, whether if it's just your mother or your mother and your father,
uh-huh,
you have to go on I always call it a scavenger hunt. You need to go and find out exactly what do they have.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean what do they have, are they getting Social Security? It's probably a given.
Mm-hmm.
Are they receiving a pension? Do they have life insurance? You know, many people, especially the seniors today, they may not have life insurance as you know it, but they may have some form of a death benefit from a company that they worked for.
Right.
That will pay out something. Or a lot of the people right now seem to have life insurance in a form of universal life, or they might have cash value in their life insurance policy.
Right.
So, you know, you want to step back and see exactly what it is that they have. And then you want to go back and find out who the beneficiaries of all of these are.
Okay.
Because, you know, if it's a spouse and that spouse is deceased, obviously you have to change that. That's number one. It should have been changed, but
right.
a lot of times it isn't.
It isn't a lot of times. You're right.
And right before the break, we were talking about something, and I was giving an example of probate,
mm-hmm.
and I was giving an example when we were talking about the trust situation. The living trust is a vehicle that can own your things. And so, you know, if your life insurance is owned by your trust, if your bank account is owned by your trust, or the beneficiary is your trust, it may not get you out of situations, but it will certainly help you minimize the situations or the financial situations that you are in.
So a lot of those things that you would put in that trust, so your home and financial assets and things like that, those would pass through probate when you have
that
to do that?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct, that it avoids tax issues. And mm-hmm. in certain cases, with the proper elder care attorney, positioning your assets can also help you qualify quicker.
Right.
So the $2,000 to circle back is just in liquidity. So if someone is going into the nursing home, they cannot have more than $2,000 in their checking account total uh-huh. each month. So, you know, that's their little allowance to do their hair or to, you know, get some creature comforts.
Right.
But
and when you say, Jody, when you say checking account, you're talking about any kind of cash that they make. Does that include their maybe Social Security and that kind of thing?
That includes everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Just can't exceed that number.
Mm-hmm. No, it cannot. And that's a hard and fast rule.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way around that. However, if there is a spouse alive, there are many other things to do, because you can't take away their livelihood or their home because the other person is ill. And so they have different rules and regulations for that.
If there is a living spouse.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, when you was talking there about Medicaid and looking, doing that scavenger hunt and finding those things, there is provisions in the Medicaid law, if I'm understanding correctly, that there is countable assets and then there is some non-countable assets, right?
That is correct. And, you know, I happen to love that. The countable assets, excuse me, are anything above you're allowed, depending on if it's a joint or single, there's a dollar amount. So if you're single, it's $2,000, and then there's a formula for the dollar amount. You're allowed a house. You're allowed one vehicle. Now, a vehicle can mean a boat, a car. It's anything that's titled.
Okay.
All right. And then, obviously, you're allowed anything within your home, those types of things. And then everything else, you've got to make disappear.
Right. Whether that's passing through children, putting in a trust. It sounds like the trust probably makes the most sense.
It is, or planning a funeral. But what I want to do real quick before we start talking about planning a funeral, because mm-hmm. that is a non-countable asset.
Okay.
In the scavenger hunt, you know, you heard us. We're putting a lot of emphasis on the trust, and that's a good thing. But a lot of people confuse that. And so in your scavenger hunt, what you want to make sure is the following things that your loved one has. You want to make sure that they have their patient advocates and or a living will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between a living will and a living trust.
Right.
So just like the Medicare and the Medicaid, those two things, the living will and the living trust, get interchanged and people are confused. So I like to say the word advance directives.
Right.
And I was noticing on your website mm-hmm. that you have listed the five wishes.
Yeah, we have at our funeral home at Henson Mortuary and through the Planning for Tomorrow radio show, we have probably provided the tri-state area here literally a little over 1,000 of the five wishes documents. That's something that we've really got behind. You know, and it's important that people have some type of a plan and they start somewhere, and we felt like the Five Wishes was a good document to start with.
Well, I applaud you and kudos to you for that, because our funeral homes and every family that we sit down and we visit with afterwards, when there's a surviving spouse, we make sure that we give them the Five Wishes.
Right.
That is the most comprehensive, and as far as I'm concerned, vehicle out there, and it was also promoted on the Today Show as the
right.
same week it was on Time and Newsweek. So, yeah, that saves people out of – I always go back to Terry Schiavo.
Right.
Or,
right.
Know, oh, yes.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, if you don't want to, or Karen Quinlan, you do not want to be in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, the five wishes, 2 weeks ago I had an emergency appendectomy.
Mm.
And if you go out to my blog on my website, jodyclock.com, I circle back kind of to these five wishes because as they're in there giving out all the orders, prepping me for surgery. The whole time, they're asking me about my advance directives, and fortunately, I had them on file.
Right.
And so it doesn't even matter if you're a senior. Everybody should have their advance directives on file or their do not resuscitate or whatever it is that they want for their lifestyle. So that's first and foremost.
You bring up a good point. There's a lot of people who automatically think, well, you know what, I'm 35, I'm 40 years old, I don't really need anything like an advance directive. But you could be in a car accident, and now here you or your family are in a position that are having to make what I consider to be vital decisions in a time of emergency.
Oh, you are so right. And that places a lot of guilt on people. And if you can avoid that, boy, you're doing them a great favor and providing a big gift.
Right. Right.
So, you know, the first thing is you want to make sure the patient advocates are done. The second thing that you want to make sure is you have your living trust, and that's the trust is the only, and I cannot stress this, the trust that holds all of your assets is only as good as it's funded.
Okay.
So you can have a trust, but if it is not funded, meaning having all of your assets titled properly, you can still lose everything.
Okay, talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that? If tell us a little bit more about what you're trying to say there.
All righty.
Gene and I are looking at each other with questions in our eyes.
With questions, yeah. Okay. All right. A lot of people will go to an attorney and they will make up a living trust.
Uh-huh.
And so people feel really good. But then when they go home, they don't go back and retitle things like your insurance policy. So let's just say if you have a life insurance policy and the beneficiary is your spouse. Okay, the beneficiary needs to change to the name of your trust.
Okay.
To the ABC Family Trust.
Okay.
So then that way, if something happens to you, the trust owns it. So it's not considered, you know, an immediate asset. Your checking account, the beneficiary, needs to be the ABC Family Trust. Your 401ks. You need to have that, your ABC Family Trust. Depending on the types of homes, some people are fortunate enough to have a cottage and a house or rental property. Those titles need to be, there's many different ways, but it should be in that trust. So literally, you don't own it, the trust does.
Right.
And I have a somewhat silly question here, but I need an answer to it, Jody. Who administers the living trust?
Wonderful, wonderful question.
Mm.
You, the first thing, and people become fearful of that, so I'm glad you brought that up. You, or the person who is setting up the trust, is called the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
So trustee is a fancy way to say you're driving the bus or you're driving the car on your trust. You are in control. And then you also name contingent trustees or a secondary, and even a third one. So, for instance, I am the trustee of the Jody Clock Trust. And then the secondary trustee, if I am unable to speak for myself, is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is my adult son. So at any given time, there's someone there that can make decisions. Which brings us back to the next thing that people need to have as they're checking to see what their parents have, you need to make sure you have a power of attorney.
Okay.
And not just a regular power of attorney. You need a durable power of attorney, one for finances and one for medical decisions.
Okay.
And, you know, that's great. Somebody might have their advanced directives, but then there's some things in the middle where you might not be able to speak for yourself, and you're alive, but you can't go out and make financial decisions, or you can't take care of your finances at the moment. You're incapacitated. That's where that durable power of attorney comes in for the financial.
Hey, Jody, we need to take one more quick break, and then we'll come back and kind of wrap things up a little bit. Can you
Great.
Stay with us next few minutes?
Love to.
Okay,
thank you.
You're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WR. And we are back to planning for tomorrow. And on the phone with us is Jody Clock, and she is the author of a book, a great book. And we're going to let her tell a little bit about that before we end the show today. It's called Navigating the Elder Care Journey Without Going Broke. And I tell you, the book, I've got it in my hand, and it is a book that literally just walks you right through the process. There are some worksheets in there that helps you gather your information and put together. It's just a great book. And we went to break, Jody. You were talking a little bit about some things with trust, things that we put in trust, and how we protect assets and things like that.
Yeah, there's 3 points, since we have some time that's limited here, I kind of want to get across. We were talking about the trust, which led us to the durable power of attorney, in case you are unable to speak for yourself, and everybody should have that. And then people really need to sit down and do their will. Uh-huh. And the one thing that I want to stress is that people say, oh, I have a will, they'll take care of that, or my house is in my will, that'll take care of that. And not so much. A will is only executed after death happens. So if somebody's going into the nursing home and that house isn't protected in that trust, mm-hmm. You could have a problem. So
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, a will is a great thing to have, and I don't want to minimize its importance because it's a very vital tool, but it only takes care of the distributions of your stuff.
Where you want things to go.
After you die, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And which brings us down to funeral planning. Mm-hmm. And funeral planning is a non-countable asset for Medicaid. And every state is different. That's one of the things in Medicaid that's a little different. So what you have to do is go to your trusted advisor or funeral director and sit down with them, and you can prearrange, and then you can prefund your funeral. Some states will allow you to go to a limit and not necessarily itemize, mm-hmm. meaning saying that I want this casket in this vault. They'll just allow you to set aside a limit.
Right.
And some states are gracious enough to let you go up to $25,000, where others are as low as $9,000.
So it's a great, it's another way that you can make sure that your funeral expenses are paid for, and maybe a grave marker, things like that, cemetery work, and protect that money because it is non-countable with Medicaid.
It is non-countable, and the beauty of it is that you can do it for yourself, you can do it for your spouse, and you can also set it aside for bloodline relatives like your children and or grandchildren.
See, what
a
gift.
And many people don't know that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, you bring up a good point there. I mean, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the good point is that a lot of people don't realize that. They think, okay, I've got this amount of money that I need to kind of, we use the word spend down.
It's not difficult.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they can do that for their spouse with their own finances, or they can do that for their child or a grandchild. It's a blood relative, right?
That is right. And the beauty of it is, and this is where people just need to be a little bit educated, is we all know that society is mobile. So let's just say if you bought it for your child or your grandchild, you can, it's transportable. Most funeral plans, mm-hmm. if depending on the funding vehicle that the funeral home uses, is completely transportable. So it follows them wherever they go.
Yeah, if they move out of state or whatever.
So, no, that's a good thing.
Right.
That's a good thing. But to circle back around on this book, the reason I felt passionate enough to sit down and try to capture this in writing is because people can save hundreds if not thousands of dollars if they take their time to do the due diligence and get all of their information, understand what they have, and then go seek out the right professionals. Because if they take that information to the right professional, half of the work is already done, because the first time they sit down, they're going to ask them, okay, what do you have? What's your situation? They want you to gather it all up. And if you have all of that together and clearly know what you want and can be your own advocate on your health care, and if you can impart that verbally, they can tie that up in a nice, neat little package for you and make it relatively painless. I mean, it may cost a few nickels, but in the long run, you're saving a lot of money.
The money you spend now could save you a ton of money later.
And you know, Fred, I think before we run out of time that we need to let listeners know how they can get a copy of Jody's book, or if there's a website that they can go to.
Jody, tell us a little bit about how listeners can get a hold of your book.
Well, thank you for offering that out to your listeners. There are several ways you can do that. You can always go to www.jodiclock.com, or you can go to amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and the book is $14.99. But I encourage you to go to the website, read some reviews, and even Amazon is there's some reviews coming, and it's fun to read that. It's very humbling, I have to tell you. It's been a fun journey.
I'm sure it has.
And the title of the book, of course, is Navigating the Elder Care Journey.
Without going broke.
Going broke.
Okay.
You know, something, Jody, that you've put in the book that I mentioned a minute ago, and I think it's very helpful to people that would purchase this book. And I urge anyone that's going to be going through these things or even wanting to be better prepared for this to purchase this book. But you have, throughout the book, family care plans. And
I do.
Those are very interesting. I mean, it's basically a template. Tell us a little bit about that. We've got just a couple minutes here.
Well, the book was intended for every chapter to stand on its own. And for those of you who haven't taken a peek at it, I didn't want it to be a boring reference book. So there's a storyline, and the storyline is about a couple named Russ and Yvonne. And Russ and Yvonne, they happen to be my ex-in-laws. And literally, it was a blended family that came together. So you're dealing with America today, blended families trying to figure out what to do with their parents and how to divide up the assets.
Right.
So each chapter can stand on its own about topics. Russ and Yvonne's journey, there's a narrative of a story for a page or a page and a half, and then the rest of the chapter will talk about whether it's probate or whether that topic is a living will. And then at the end of the chapter, it summarizes it, and then it has a family care or an action plan. So the intent is, if you actually completed all of those, that's actually what you would take into your elder care attorney. And in the section about elder care attorneys, it actually shows you how to interview an elder care attorney and know if you have someone who really does know their stuff.
Oh, wow.
Or if not, run screaming from the building.
Exactly.
And I would say, Jody, and Fred is showing me the book here, that it's beautifully set out. It's not page after page of narrative. There's questions and answers, and it's just graphically well set out. So it's easy to read.
It is. Easy to read and fill in the blank. You know, basically you just gather your own personal information and put it on these sheets. And like you said, I mean, it walks you right through it. That's what I found interesting about the book, Jody, was how that it basically from start to finish, it walks someone that through what feels like a huge mountain to many. It walks them through that, and it does it delicately, and it does it very simply.
And, Jody, I have a question for you that I simply must have the answer to before we go. We've talked about many different things this morning, but we've always used the term nursing home. So basically, everything that you've told us referring to a nursing home, does it also refer to what is also called assisted living?
Those are two very different vehicles, or in terms of how their finances are laid out.
Okay.
But yes, it will help you qualify to get into an assisted living home, and then it will position you to get into a nursing home. Assisted living, for our listeners out there, assisted living is where someone can go in, they can live independently, but they may not have to cook, or they can go into the kitchen or go into community events. So they're still usually living very independently, and someone may be monitoring their meds or helping them in areas that they may need, where a nursing home is there getting around-the-clock care.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
Jody, anything else you want to leave with our listeners before we've got just about a minute or so here about your book? We've talked a little bit about how they can get a hold of that book. And again, I urge our listeners to get this book. If you or a friend is going through this, have parents, in-laws, ex-in-laws, right, Jody?
Yep, in-laws, outlaws, whatever.
Great book to have.
Well, no, what I really want to just push is that it is for average America. And it is for adult baby boomers who could be an advocate for their parents.
Jody, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I really appreciate you being with us, talking about your book, Navigating the Elder Care Journey Without Going Broke. And appreciate you being with us, and would love to have you back again sometime.
Look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye.
What a great show. Got a lot of good information, Jean.
Right.
Navigating the Elder Care Journey.
Lots more good information in her book, Jody Clark.
Absolutely. I want to make sure our listeners realize that this show is a media resource of Henson Mortuary here in Huntington, West Virginia. And we also have our website, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, which is pftradio.com. A lot of resources, a lot of good information there. And that's about going to wrap up the show for this
weekend
Friday.
Coming up. Have a great weekend, listeners.
Have a great weekend. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Your home of the Cincinnati Bengals and the National Football League. Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. WRVC Huntington.